Jesus. With my hands and my voice, I will sing and rejoice.
Hallelujah, one more time.
Praise the name of Jesus, Jesus my Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. I will praise the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I feel the Spirit of the Lord here. I feel the Spirit of liberty. You know why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If you're not having liberty, then the Spirit of the Lord must not be there, because He came to set captives free, bind up brokenhearted. Hallelujah. So where He is, there's going to be freedom. Let's go to Genesis 16 and 4, Hebrews 11 and 11. Thank you for coming to Sunday school. A lot of rain last night, and you're here anyway. Nothing wrong with an umbrella and a slicker suit. I was fishing in the rain the other day, catching them big old white perch. I didn't care if it was raining. Surely I can come to church when it's raining. Hallelujah. It started raining, and I went out. Now, is that crazy or what? I want to teach you about being an overcomer this morning. Anybody got something they need to overcome? Sure you do. We all have things. If you don't have anything you need to overcome, you need to be in heaven. What are you doing here? Hallelujah. Genesis 16 and 4. And Abraham, and he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. Just one time. Take Hagar. She conceived. And when she, speaking of Sarai, saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. I can't believe it. After all these times, Abraham and I have been trying to have a kid, and one time with this worldly girl, and she's pregnant. But watch Hebrews 11 and 11. The unsung hero of Hebrews 11 is this woman. Through faith also, Sarah, herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Wow. I don't read Hagar's name in the book of Hebrews. Her name's not there. She was supposed to conceive. She was a worldly girl. The things of the world are easy to conceive. But this lady here called Sarah had trouble conceiving. I want to talk about the strength to conceive this morning. The strength to conceive. God gives you the strength to conceive so that you can overcome what the world is doing. Hallelujah. Lord, I come before you this morning. I'm thankful for your word. It's everlasting. I'm thankful, Lord, that our lives through your word is also everlasting. And we just step from this life to the life to come and live on with you. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life that we might continue ours, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The strength to conceive. Good to have all of you. Good to have my Aunt Billy back there with my mom. That's my mom's oldest sister. 90, how many? 92. Praise the Lord. If I can have that kind of mind she's got at 92, I'll be happy. As long as I can still catch him white perch. Hallelujah. The strength to, because I'm not talking about the strength to deliver this morning. If Melanie was here, and she could tell you about the strength to deliver. When the doctor says push, that you need to be strong enough and have enough power to push out what you have conceived. And Hezekiah said, when the enemy came one time, he said, we came to the point of delivery. He said, but we don't have enough strength to push. We can't quite get through this situation to deliver the child. So I want to talk more about the conceptual things this morning. And the first child that Abraham was father unto was a son called Ishmael, the son of Hagar, which was the Egyptian woman, which we will term the worldly woman this morning. Egypt was the type of the world. And the next time he was the father of a spiritual son, born of Sarah, the convert, if you will, whose father was Terah, who was an idolatress, and this was a converted woman, if you will, and she has a son named Isaac. And you might go back and listen to the message I preached a long time ago, the miracle and the mistake can't live in the same house. One of them is a mistake and the other one is a miracle. And your miracle, when you finally get your miracle, you wish you didn't have that mistake. Sometimes we take the mistake thinking it's going to be our miracle. And we find out it was a mistake. And now when your miracle comes, the mistake is in the way of your miracle. Oh, that's a whole other sermon. But the only difference between Hagar and Sarah in the beginning is their ability to conceive, right? Not receive, conceive. Because they both have the ability. Abraham still had the ability to deliver. I want you to understand this. It wasn't Abraham that was impotent at the time, because he goes into Hagar one time and she conceived. He had been with Sarah many times and she had not conceived. So the difference was not Abraham's ability to deliver or their ability to receive. The difference between the two women was the ability to conceive. Mm-hmm. And to receive means, of course, to be able to take in. But to conceive is the ability to hold what you have taken in. The ability to contain it. And when I preach, I'm trying to get concepts across to you. Because if you can have a conceptual, 2 + 2 = 4. If you take two of these, Johnny, and two of these, and we put these together, how many do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, I conceive that. I understand. And you get a conception. Now, once you get the conception, honey, faith is over. You hear me? Faith is over. Once you conceive it, then all of a sudden you believe it without the shadow of a doubt. 2 + 2 = 4. I didn't understand that at first, but now you've explained it to me. I have the concept in my mind. And now I've got the concept. You can't fool me. I don't even doubt anymore. Are you with me this morning? So I want to talk to you, not about the ability to receive, because we all receive the Word of God, even with gladness. But unless you can conceive the Word of God, then it just goes out of your system and you just still praying, God, help me believe, Lord, I want to be an overcomer. And you're still trying to do all these things. Why? Because you never conceived it. You're believing it and you received it, but you never conceived it. If you conceived it, then you don't have to pray. It's like when you women find out that you're pregnant, you know, you take this little pregnancy test, and what it's telling you is you have conceived. It's not telling you that the egg and the sperm have come together. That's not what it's telling you. It's telling you something is attached. Something is changed. The hormones have changed inside of you. Something is conceiving. So Hagar was this Egyptian woman and was a type of the world, and Sarah is a type of a spiritual walk by faith in God. And the just shall walk by faith and not by sight. It takes no faith, hear me this morning, to receive the things of the world. It takes no faith. Here, take this book. I mean, we see it. The things of the world are seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things of God that are not seen are eternal, and they're much harder to conceive. In my hand is a book. Please take it. And you're going to go, I don't see anything. No, I promise you, in my hand there's this book. Take it, read it, swallow it. It is good for you. It is the Word of God. You can't see the Word of God. You hear the Word of God. Oh, my goodness. I might get this CD myself. See, the things of the world are easy to conceive. When lust is conceived, see, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. That's the seed. But when the seed is conceived, when lust is conceived, it's going to bring forth. There is no doubt. If something is conceived, it will bring forth. So if your faith ever gets to the point that you believe God and it is conceived in your mind, it is fixing to happen. It's going to come forth. It's the same concept as the world. But we receive and we conceive the things of the world so much easier because they're easy to see. But we struggle when it comes to conceiving the things of God. We struggle on holding on to what we believe. We struggle, we receive it with gladness, but we struggle with keeping it, letting it hold on in our mind until it brings forth the fruit of the labor. My. And we need to be fully persuaded, as Abraham was, in our mind that God is able to do what he said or promised he would do. Many times we're like the father of the lunatic son. You remember the father that had the lunatic son? He brought him to his disciples and they couldn't do anything with him, so they bring him to Jesus. He says, bring him to me. And he says, Lord, I believe, but I keep losing it. I believe my kids are coming home, but look at them. I believe my dad's coming to church, but look at him. I believe my wife's going to get it, but look at her. And he says, I keep losing it. I believe, help my unbelief. Help me to hold on to what I'm believing for. Because when you see it not working, all of a sudden you lose what you believe and you abort the process. And you start praying harder and harder and harder. Well, if you really conceived it, let me tell you this, that's the end of prayer too. See, you may not understand that. I'll talk maybe a little bit more about that. But when you really believe it and you conceive it, why are you praying about it? The reason you're praying about it is because you don't believe it. Oh, my goodness. Once something has been received and conceived inside of our mind or in our bodies, it becomes the embryo. The embryo, and the embryo is the, when the male gamete and the female gamete and the zygote form together, and then it attaches to the wall of the uterus, and what happens is it becomes joined. It becomes joined. And it is at that point that it is called the embryo. Yeah. It is the beginning stages of what shall be. Ah, yes. All it has to do, brother, from that point on is grow. There's no more coming together. There's no more believing. There's no more any of that kind of stuff. It's just grow. Once it is implanted into the woman, it's just grow. So that you realize as long as the woman takes care of herself, she's taking care of the baby. And as long as you keep walking and trusting and believing God, you're taking care of what you're believing God for. Amen. The just shall walk by faith. Once the embryo is implanted in your mind and you conceive it in your mind, honey, why do you have to keep snotting and boogering and beating the... It just walk and just believe. Why do you have to keep doing all that? The reason is you haven't conceived it yet. Because once you conceive it, my kids are coming home. They are going to live for God. I conceive that in my mind. I receive it. I conceive it. Now, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to keep living for God, and I'm going to pick them up on their way down. This embryo attaches, and then once it becomes joined through a placenta, and the placenta now is hooked up with the mother, and it just feeds, it just grows, so that the mother just continues to live. You and I, once we finally believe and it's conceived, we just keep living. You just have to keep living. Quit letting that thing get you down. If you conceive it, it becomes part of you. Everything about faith starts with receiving. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing of the word of God. But until you have a conceptual reality, meaning you have a belief that you will receive what you are believing for. You have a belief that it will be real. David said, I would have fainted except I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I conceived that. I believe that. And I conceived that. So he said, I can keep walking now. I would have fainted except I conceived it. My. So when Elijah prays for rain, you remember Elijah in a drought, time of the drought. Dry, 3.5 years, dry. He says, I'm going to have to pray for rain. And he prayed. Nothing. So the Bible says he prayed more fervently. And on the seventh time, he sends that servant up there, and the servant comes back and he says, I see an embryo. That's what he said. I see an embryo. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Now, that's not big enough to do anything. We got a drought in the land. But he took the embryo and he said, I hear the abundance of rain. Hallelujah. Because all I got to do is let it grow now. Hallelujah. That cloud will make another cloud and it's going to get bigger. Before long, it'll be thundering light. Tell Ahab he better get down while he can or he's going to slide down with the mud because it is fixing to pour down. I just saw an embryo. Hallelujah. And all it's got to do is grow. So when you really, really, really believe your prayers have been answered, it's just got to grow. And we need to get our faith in this embryonic position of just believing that it's just now it's got to grow. Hallelujah. So many times we work so hard at mustering up faith. That was the mustard seed. You can't muster up faith. You can't say it 10 times over till you believe it. When you try so hard to muster up faith, you are actually mustering up doubt. That's what you're mustering up, is more doubt. I'm just going to say it every morning until it happens. You're mustering up doubt. To say it one time and believe it. When Jesus prayed, he said it one time. Now, I'm not telling you not to pray until you see the signs. I believe you need to see the embryo. I understand that. But he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. This is before he raised Lazarus from the dead. I know that thou always hear me. We've got a good communication here. I don't need to say it 10 times, Lord. I know you're going to hear me because I've got an open communication. Lazarus, come forth. That simple. Faith is conceptually believing that what you believe will be delivered at some point in time. The things of this world are easy to receive, they're easy to conceive, and they're easy to deliver. But the things of God must be conceived in the womb of our mind, in our heart, which makes it much more difficult because we don't see it. Now, let me go a little bit deeper because Hagar is this Egyptian woman representing the world, and Sarah is going to be us converts, one that converted. Abraham has already received the promise from God that he's going to be the father of many nations, if you can, like the dust of on the land, like the sands of the sea, the stars of heaven. He's not dead. His seed is not dead yet. No. But Sarah's womb is dead so that she cannot conceive what Abraham has delivered to her. So in Sarah's way of trying, have you ever tried to help God out? You ever tried, it doesn't work. I must have misunderstood him when he said that to me. And just a week ago, you were so sure you had heard from God. But now we start doubting. See, we start losing it because we didn't conceive it. And it sloughed off. And so we start trying to find a way to help God bring about the promise. Now, Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. Now, see, it wasn't because they weren't trying. She was barren. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And I will say this again, I've said it several times recently, if you don't continue to walk in your purpose, you will begin to walk in your weakness. Yeah. And so her purpose was to have a son by her. But when she started to get weak, then she began to walk in her weakness, and she said, let's make this happen a different way. And Sarah said unto Abraham, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me. You see, you start doubting God. He's restrained me all these years, so he must be against me or something. I don't know. Anybody ever felt like God was against you? You know, you're just like, I know you don't want to raise your hand, but the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. See, she was doing it so she could claim this baby. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, the worldly woman, After Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar. And I'm telling you, after all this time, Sarah had nothing. But Hagar, the world, it's easy to conceive the things of the world. And she conceived. And when she saw that, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. It's like, I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. She was really maybe hoping she'd struggle like she was. But she conceived. And so many times people in the church, Sarah being a form of convert from idolatry to trying to trust God, they go back to the world when things don't work out. And she went back to the world trying to make this work out. But it won't. What it does, it complicates what God is going to do. And that's what causes people to backslide. When they don't think they're getting the promises of God like they thought they would, they revert back to the world trying to get the promises of God. And it won't work. They try to stay in the church and use the world too. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Now Miss Sarai is in a